Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. A great delight to be back studying God's Word. Let us turn our attention to a passage which is recorded around 2500 years back in the scripture. And this passage is going to illustrate the impact of understanding God's word on human lives. Shall we turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses from 9 to 12. Please turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Verses from 9 to 12. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and then Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the Lord. Then he said to them, "Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Shall we humble our hearts in prayer this morning? Our God, we come to you this time with expectation that the Lord will impact our lives even today morning through the study of your word. Lord, we pray for the working of your spirit, inspiring us, challenging us, and changing our lives. We pray that all honor and glory may be given to you. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Around 1.5 years back, I went to visit a teenage boy who was admitted in the hospital. He was lying in a psychiatric ward. According to the terminology of the doctor, he was suffering from bipolar disorder. I knew this teenage boy very well, and I also knew that this boy was living in rebellion against God. So my intention was there to go visit and minister to that young boy the word of God. When I saw the teenage boy, I found that he looked confused. He was disturbed. At the same time, I noticed that he had a desire in understanding about God. So the moment I started to share something from God's word, the mother who was standing nearby came running and objected and warned to me not to use the scripture because it may affect the psychiatric treatment he is taking. I was shocked. And I was even sad to notice that this woman failed to recognize that God's word can impact the life of his son. Dear brothers and sisters, today morning, do you recognize that God's word can effectively rebuild lives of people? Do you realize that the impact of God's word in lives of people could be wonderful? Then, dear brothers and sisters, we need to put our hope in God's word. Not on man invented systems of healing and restoration. So the challenge today morning, brothers, in the scripture, we find as we can put hope in God's word, because God's word can restore, it can rebuild, it can repair the lives of people. And even if you look at the portion for our study today morning, we find it very clear how God's word has been very effective in building the lives of people. I would like to summarize the context. If you know the book of Nehemiah, understand that this was even taught a few months back in the church over here. If you look at the previous chapters of the book of Nehemiah, we read and understand how Nehemiah, the governor, and the team were involved in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that had remained unattended for a long period of time. And we read in chapter 6, verse 15, that the project of rebuilding the broken walls were completed in a period of 52 days by the help of God. But a task that remained unaccomplished was the rebuilding of people who have been shattered by the judgment of God. People have been shattered by the invasion of enemies. People have been shattered by the shame. People have been shattered by insecurity. So we find that rebuilding is happening not through cement and mortar. That rebuilding is happening to the preaching and study of God's word. If you look at the earlier verses of this chapter 8, our portion of study is from verses 9 to 12. If you look at the previous verses from 1 to 8, we understand that this truth people have believed in. So what they have done is, after the rebuilding was completed, the people have all gathered together in a particular square. Maybe around 30 to 40,000 people. They have gathered together to study God's word, because they had put their hope that God's word alone has the ability to rebuild or impact life. If you look at the previous two verses of this passage, please look at verse 7. We find that a team of people were there. In chapter 8, verse 7, there were around 13 Levites, and the leader was Ezra. We know that in verse 1. Together with Nehemiah, they were explaining the scripture to the people. They were making the people understand the word of God. Look at verse 8. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense that they understood the reading. So we find that people are all gathered with the expectation that God's word may rebuild their lives. And the rebuilding and restoration is very evident, dear brothers and sisters, Because when we look at verse 9 of our passage, what the people are doing, we find in verse 9 that when the God's word was ministered and when they understood the meaning of God's word, all the people were weeping. But when you turn to verse 12, we observe a drastic change. We find in verse 12 that all the people are celebrating. Do you notice the kind of transformation God's word can bring in the people of God? So dear brothers and sisters, could be possible some of you are sitting here. Maybe your lives have been shattered by certain events in life. Maybe your lives have been shattered by certain sin or certain failures beyond your control. Otherwise, you are shattered by certain sickness. You are troubled even today morning. But the scripture is giving, this passage is giving great hope that God's word can rebuild. It can impact your life in a dramatic way. So let us understand how God's word can rebuild your life and my life from this passage. So we can put God's hope in God's word because of three reasons if you clearly read the text. The first reason is God's word convicts you. God's word creates a very profound, deep impression in your life that no man can change. It is unchangeable. The conviction given by God's word. If you look at verse 9, earlier also we found that all the people were weeping. Did Nehemiah command them to weep? No, we don't find Nehemiah commanding them to weep. All were weeping. In fact, we find that Nehemiah and the remaining people were prohibiting them not to weep. You know what is the speciality of that day? In verse 9, it is told that this day is holy to the Lord your God. If you look at the incident that happened, this gathering of people and devotion to study of the law of God happened on the first day of the seventh month. That is the day when they celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. They will blow the trumpet to remember that God, Almighty God, had gathered them from all the nations to be God's people. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of joy. Today also Lord has gathered His children here to praise and worship Him. And they remember, it's a day of celebration. They are filled with great joy. But today what we find is people are weeping. So we find Nehemiah and others are prohibiting them. Do not weep. This is not the day to weep. This is the day to remember and celebrate. But they could not do anything because people were weeping. They could not control their emotions when they were exposed to the living world. Their hearts were broken down. Only God's word can convict you like this. Dear brothers and sisters, we find here very clearly the reason, verse 9, the second part we find, why they were weeping, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. They were convicted. It's a day to celebrate, but they were convicted by the power of God's word. They understood the holy requirements of God. How they understood how they have been unfaithful to God. They understood that they have forgotten God who
saved them. They understood about their sins in the past. And we find only one reason. We will find only one reason. Because they understood God's word. Do you understand that study of God's word can convict you very deeply? An impression no one can change. And even when you study the book of Acts, do you remember on the day of Pentecost when Apostle Peter stood and preached to 3,000 people explaining from the scripture? Chapter 2, verse 22 to 36 we read, and suddenly people started asking a question. What they were asking, what shall we do? Peter did not ask them to raise a question like that. The people themselves were convicted that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because in immediate verse it is written that verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, they were pierced to the heart. God's word can go very deep inside your heart. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 we read like this, God's word is sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing very deep inside you. It can expose it. It can rip you apart. Only God can do it. His word can do it. And we find that is exactly we see the impact of God's word. It can convict you. Nobody else can convict you like that. And I just remember the incident that happened if some years back a believer was staying in a hostel room with other believers. And there were some minor adjustment issues. This brother could not adjust with the other brothers because of some minor adjustments problem. And the remaining, and this believer, what he did is he told that, I'm going to leave this room and I'm going to stay with an unbeliever roommates. The remaining believers were so shocked. See, we used to stay here and have prayer together, and now you are going from this room and to be part of the other room where unbelievers stay together. And one Sunday afternoon, God gave him a desire. Why don't I read? He was a new believer. Why don't I read the book of Acts? I don't know what happened during the first century church. He started reading the entire book of Acts at a single stretch. He rose up from the chair as a convicted person. The God's word went deep inside him and convicted. How believers were together in the first century when church gathered together. They were sharing. They were poor. They were rich. But they were very intimate in fellowship. They were devoted to each other. They were loving each other. Then he was convicted very deep to his heart. What am I doing? I'm going to go out of this room where believers are staying together. He was, no one even gave any counsel to him. He was convicted by God's word. And he repented. And he went back and he stayed together with the believers. Do you understand that God's word can have a very deep impact in life that no one can change? And dear brothers and sisters, maybe you are doing some counseling to young people or others, maybe to your family members whose lives have been shattered. Are your counsels rich with God's word, or is it your own fancy ideas? God's word can rip apart people. And very important thing, you and I should also understand that convictions need not be always connected with sin. Because when Christ promised the coming of the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in you and me, one of the main work of Spirit of God is to guide you in all the truth. Guiding you in all the truth. Maybe it is possible that earlier you were not convicted about the importance of taking water baptism. But today you are convicted. That's the truth. And even after studying the book of Proverbs, today you are convicted that spanking children is not sin, but it is parental responsibility. Earlier you were thinking differently, but today we find that you are convicted by the study of God's word. And the scripture again gives the promise that the Holy Spirit will guide you in all the truth. Now the question and challenge is, dear brothers and sisters, do you devote sufficient time to expose yourself to the power of God's word to convict you? Are there any distractions that take away your valuable time every day with the study of God's word? Man-invented systems cannot impact. But God's word. Today morning also, dear brother was sharing from reading from book of Psalm 19. The power of God's word in convicting you. So you and I can put hope in God's word in no other place. And the second reason we find why you and I can put hope in God's word is that God's word assures you. The assurance given by God's word alone. Let us look at the verse 10. We find a very, very pitiful condition of the people. Do you see that in verse 10? We read like this. Then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We read about the sad condition of the people. They wanted to celebrate because it is a festival day. But there is no joy to celebrate. Have you ever tried celebrating with grief in your mind? Absolutely not possible. They wanted to celebrate because this day is holy to the Lord. When you are supposed to celebrate, go eat, drink the sweets, share with others who don't have, but you don't have no strength to celebrate. Is there someone here in this room today morning that this is the Lord's day and you have to shout with joy to the Lord, but there's no strength in you to raise your voice and sing praises to the Lord? Sometimes we are like that, isn't it? We are commanded to sing praises, but you don't. I have no strength to celebrate. This is the condition of the people over there. And what is actually Nehemiah commanding them? Again to weep? No. Nehemiah is commanding them in verse 10. Go, eat, drink, share, celebrate. The people will be wondering how we will be able to do this. There's no strength in us. We are beaten down by sorrow. We are beaten down by pain. We are beaten down by repentance. How can I celebrate? And do you know what? Nehemiah is giving the assurance to the people over there. We find the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm asking you to celebrate because strength is available in the joy of the Lord. And we find here very clearly, what is that joy mentioned here? Nehemiah is not asking them to celebrate without strength. Nehemiah is telling, joy of the Lord is your strength. So in this context, we understand as the people are repenting, they are convicted about their sin. We all know that what they need is forgiveness in Christ, forgiveness in God. And Nehemiah is speaking this word to the people gathered over there. Joy of the Lord will give strength to the people. That means God is willing to completely forgive you. And the forgiveness that is available will be the strength. And if you look at the picture of strength used here, it is the picture of a huge mountain, the picture of a huge fortress. And such huge will be the strength that God is willing to grant you. God's word is assuring you so that you are able to come out of this grief and you are able to celebrate on that day. So do you understand that the word that came inspired by God's Spirit at that point of time gave the assurance, gives the assurance to the people of God so that they are not weeping, they are able to come out of their grief so that they are able to celebrate on that day. Do you understand how God's word can give assurance at the time of need? It is something very, very important. Even in Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22, we read that a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. What the people, they needed that time was joy of forgiveness. And Nehemiah spoke the right word. You need strength. You need forgiveness. And that forgiveness is going to be a good medicine that will repair you completely. And you are given the strength assured by God. And it's like a huge strength, huge mountain that can overcome the grief. And you will be given the strength to celebrate. What a great God we have that His word gives you and me the assurance so that our lives are impacted. Our lives are repaired and restored. I remember the plight of a young person literally lying down on the floor. And the next day is going to be his marriage. And he was lying there without knowing what to do because earlier he was convicted by the scripture that he should only marry a believer. And he was convicted. He came forward to marry only a believer. The marriage is fixed with a believer girl. But there was a consequence. The whole family, they don't want to break up their traditions. So they did not want to cooperate with the marriage of this person who is lying down. No strength to celebrate. No strength to be prepared for the marriage. Normally we know that on the penultimate day, a lot of family gathering. There will be joy because the person is getting married. But here we find the sad condition like this. And that time one believer made a call to him, reminding him about the study of God's word. And he started reading the Bible lying on down on the floor. And Psalm 27 verse 10, it impacted his life. And what happened is, it is written there in Psalm 27 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. The God's word gave a very strong assurance to that person who was shattered without having any strength to do anything. At the right time, the God's word gave him assurance and he could not remain there. He got up. Because God gave him the assurance through his word that even if your parents, nobody is going to be with you, I am going to be with you. With that assurance, he got up and he went for the preparation. Do you understand that God's word can give a lot of assurance in your life and my life? Man's assurance is of no use. They cannot give any assurance. They're all temporary. But when God's word gives an assurance, you are impacted. You are restored. You are strengthened. Do you understand that? If that is the case, memorizing scripture is a great way to be assured all the time. If you have the right verses memorized, you can access it at the time of need, so that you are assured all the time. When you are suffering with worry, Matthew chapter 6 onwards, if you read, look at the birds in the air, look at the lilies of the field. I am a caring father for you. What an assurance it will give you if you are shattered by worries and anxieties. Or do you face temptation in life, temptation in sin, and you have memorized the verse Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What a great strength it comes to your mind, to you, when you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is available to help you when the forces of temptation are trying to conquer you. God's word gives great assurance to you and me. Even we find that when in the book of Matthew chapter 4, our Lord and Master Savior, we know that he himself, against the weapons of the evil, when he was tempted, Jesus Christ used scriptures, and that scriptures give a lot of assurance to you and me. So the challenge the passage is giving here is to do not put our hope on any assurance given by man. Assurance that is available in God's word. Will you take a commitment that you will spend some time every day at least to memorize some of the scripture passages whom you need at that point of time, maybe on the as a wallpaper on your computer, or paste it on a wall or on the table, so that always you are assured by God through his word. Scripture says very clearly that word of God is the sword of the spirit, by which you are assured victory. And it is only through God's word and through his spirit. And let us look at the final reason we find why you and I can put God's hope in God's word. For rebuilding the lives of people, to restore the lives of people. The third reason we find here is God's word changes you. A change. We all long for change. We all long for various changes in others and in our lives. But let us understand that change is possible through God's word. Why do we say that? In verse 11 we find that the Levites, what the Levites are doing in verse 11, we find that all the Levites are trying to calm the people. Because the cries are rising. Loud cries. People are still weeping. And now Nehemiah already gave the assurance that joy of the Lord is your strength. You are able to overcome it. Now we find that slowly the loud cries are subsiding. What do you find in verse 12? We find them celebrating. Do you find that in the scripture, verse 12? All the people, as per the commands of Nehemiah, they went, they ate, they drank from the sweets, they were even willing to share the food with others, those who don't have. And did you find out a word that is to celebrate a great festival. It is visible. The change is visible. In other translations, if you look at ESV or NKJV, this word also is given. Instead of celebrating, the mood of celebration also is mentioned. They celebrated with great joy. There was rejoicing in heart. Do you think that they were manipulating? Do you think that they were acting suddenly? If you and I are spectators at that square, where 30 to 40,000 people have gathered, you'll be wondering at the change the Lord has brought. Then they understood the word of God. We find this very clearly in the verse. It is visible, and we find that they are celebrating with a great joy. And the joy was real. And we find also the reason, which is mentioned in verse 12 at the end. Because they understood the words which had been made known to them. So the change and the transformation, the reason that is accounted in the scripture is they understood the words of God. And even in verse Mark chapter 4:20, when Christ was preaching about the parable of the sower, do you remember what Christ told those people regarding the impact of God's word? We find in verse 4:20 that the reception of God's word, it's evident. It will bear fruit 30, 60 and 100-fold. And this change is very visible. It's not something hidden. All the people were celebrating. There was great joy in the hearts of people. God's word had convicted those people. God's word had assured the people, and fruit bearing was very visible because they were filled with great joy, and they were even willing to serve the other people who were not having any food. And so do you understand that God's word can bring changes? Because that is the impact of God's word. I remember the incident that happened around 20 years back. I still remember because it had a great impact in my life. I visited one brother in Christ, and I spent one day with that family. The younger brother was there, and the mother also was there. And I got an opportunity to speak with the younger brother, who may be studying in 10th or 12th standard. And I found this person was very different. I found that this person is talking with great maturity. His ambitions were very high, as if he's speaking like a person who is above 40, who have a lot of experience. I was curious to know what is the reason why. This is something which is very evident, that he's speaking not like a normal person with a lot of maturity. And I never knew that this person was also a born-again believer. He took me to his room and he showed me his study table, and full of racks of cassettes, audio cassettes. During those times, audio cassettes were there, supplied by Grace to India Ministry. And he was devoted to the study of God's word. And the changes were very visible. Even a person of 10, 15 years of age with lot of maturity. And I was surprised. I was in fact curious to know what is the reason. It was very clear that he was a committed student of God's word. And the fruits are very, very visible. So the impact of God's word, dear brothers and sisters, they are very visible. And do you know that you and I, God has purposed to grow in Christ likeness? We know from the scripture that very well. Then changes in your life and my life are inevitable. changes in your life and my life are mandated. Because we are called to grow in Christ-likeness. Dear brothers and sisters, when was the last time when someone came and told you that you have changed? You become slow to anger. You become self-controlled. Even when I try to irritate you, you are not getting irritated. Changes are inevitable. And it is not possible by any external therapy. It is a therapy of God's word and His Spirit in your life and my life. So dear brothers and sisters, do not attempt any behavior therapy. They are useless. Man-invented systems are useless. But when you submit yourself to the authority of God's word and His Spirit, He is the surgeon who goes inside and exposes your sin and causes you to grow in Christ-likeness. Only God's word can impact your life and my life. Even Christ told in John chapter 15 verse 6, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me you cannot do anything. It's not manipulation. It's not acting. God's word will definitely cause to bear fruit in you and I. Even Galatians we read, self-control, joy, peace are all fruit of the Spirit. It is not fruit of the flesh. When you and I submit to the authority of God's word and submit to the work of His Spirit in my and your life, changes will be seen. We are able to bear fruit. So, the scripture is very clearly challenging us to put hope in God's word alone to restore and impact our life. I remember, before concluding, I want to tell what happened to that young boy. 2 months back, I had an opportunity to meet that teenage boy again. He looked very different. He was humbled to the ground saying that, I need God. I was surprised. Then he was telling, I'm reading the book of Mark. Again I was surprised. And the mother who was standing nearby immediately confessed, it is the work of God. Isn't it marvelous and amazing that God's word can cause a deep impact in your life and my life? So we can put hope in God's word. Even that mother called me yesterday evening. She is willing now to live by faith. She is willing to cancel all her insurance policies. She told me from the scripture, if God's word convicts me that I can live by faith, I can live by faith. So let us understand that God's word can cause a deep impact in your life and my life. And it can assure you. When you are weak, God's word can assure you. Shall we commit in prayer and again commit to the authority of God's word and His Spirit? Lord, again we come this morning and we ask for your grace upon us. We want to be committed student of God's word. We know that only your word can impact. Your word can work deep in our hearts. So as a church, Lord, we want to put a hope only in your word. We submit to your work in our life. Lord, we want to become like Christ. We want to bear fruit. Be gracious to each one of us here. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name.